Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, February 26, 2015. And with me today, I have the always insightful, even when he can't see, Brian Chaffin. How are you?
Blind.
Yeah,
or the right side of my body is stoned.
Well, all right. We're going to use that to our advantage.
And it's cool, you guys. It's legal there.
Yeah, that's right. It is. So no worries, Brian. You're totally fine. And my personal legal advisor, Kelly Gumont, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's great to have both of you here today. And sorry you're having eye issues today, Brian. And I hope that all works out okay.
I'll let you know what I see.
Here's some speculation. Brian got a good look at something from Apple today, and he went blind.
No.
But there was something to see from Apple today. There was a media invite that went out.
It's true.
Yes.
Yes. So
spring forward.
Yeah, spring forward. So what we know right now is Apple is hosting a special media event at the Yerba Buena Center in San Francisco on March 9th. And the title of the event is Spring Forward.
So, you know, deals with time, Apple Watch,
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up right there.
Yes and no, because, see, here's my question, is that we heard from Tim himself that the watch was going to ship in April. And we already had kind of the watch event last year. So why do we need an event a month before? Well, let's face it, more like 7 weeks before, because if they say April, they mean the end of it. Why do we need an event way before? Another one.
In the immortal words of my good friend and colleague Donald Rumsfeld, there are the things that we know and the things that we don't know and the things that we don't know we don't know.
Okay. So then, I mean, how come ever get into the unknown unknowns?
All right, here's something that I would expect Apple to use an event like this for.
The event is going to be about the Apple Watch. That's the duh.
Yes. What they show at the event, what I'm expecting is apps. They're going to Apple invited several developers out to Cupertino to help them finish up their Apple Watch apps. And my guess is those are the apps that they're going to show off on March 9th.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not saying Apple shouldn't have an event. I'm not saying it's not a good move on their part. My question is, why are they having it at the beginning of March if we already know that that mere mortals aren't going to be able to get their hands on one for a whole nother month? It'll be the second announceware event from Apple, and that seems very, very odd to me.
The timing does seem odd if it's an Apple Watch announce event, or launch announce event. And if it's not, then it is kind of odd that Apple would just suddenly have a second Apple Watch event. So if we look at it as this is the event where Apple says we're going to start selling Apple Watch on whatever date, we'll probably have pre-orders, I'm guessing, but that also depends on inventory. So if they can't give us enough inventory, then we're not going to have a pre-order window. If we do have a pre-order window, typically Apple has started that at the end of the week when they make the announcement, which would make pre-orders start on the 13th, which seems really weird. And even if Apple is planning on releasing Apple Watch at the very beginning of April.
Right.
Let's say they totally throw their patterns to the wind and release this on April 1st, which would be the company's anniversary.
This is true.
That would be a Wednesday.
Yes.
And it would still be 3.5 weeks after the media event. So that's weird. So that brings us back to what Brian said. The stuff we don't know that we don't know.
Right. And I'm not saying that there aren't unknown unknowns, but like we've seen in the last, I'm just sort of going to pick an arbitrary window of time. In the last, say, 5 years, we've seen a number of things that didn't even get a press release. Just all of a sudden, you know, the store went down and bam, iMacs got upgraded. you know, things like that. So
Kelly, when they showed us the Apple Watch, there were so many details that they left out.
Right.
We still don't know pricing. We still don't know battery life. We still don't know availability of the straps. We don't know the pricing on the straps. We don't know the exact configurations that Apple is going to be offering.
Right.
There are a lot of very specific details that were deliberately withheld in September in order to create the need for this next media event.
And again, I'm not saying that having this is a bad idea, but if they're going to have it, I think it should be a lot closer. So unless what's
maybe
happening
it is going to be closer. Maybe they're going to ship 2 weeks early.
Yeah, that's what I mean, is either they're going to ship a lot sooner, or there has been some discussion that there was supposed to be an event in February that was going to involve more than Apple Watch. And so when I was sort of thinking this through, well, like maybe they're doing other stuff. Maybe the stuff we don't know is they're going to drop a new something else on us, because you know, they could have said it's about time and, you know, oh, haha. But they didn't. They said spring forward. And, you know, when you think of that without attaching it to daylight savings time or saving time, depending who you are, Kelly looks forward to your letters. I think of product evolution and, you know, moving things ahead, you know, spring forward. Like, this is really going to, you know, this is some of the stuff that's going to be 100% Tim. This is going to be stuff that's Apple 2.0 from top to bottom. So, you know, maybe we're going to get a new Apple TV, because that's the horse. That's the dead horse Kelly likes to beat, is the new Apple TV. Maybe we're going to get new laptops in some fashion. You know, Intel's got new chips that are out there. Well, maybe Apple's able to get a hold of them in some capacity. We're going to see those.
Clearly,
too.
There could be other things at this event also.
Right.
But the event's going to be anchored by the Apple Watch.
Right. But it was thinking that stuff through that sort of made me wonder, why is now the time to have the event? So that's the thing I'm thinking of, is either we're going to get it early, or Apple has decided that we can ship stuff a month from now and not realize that people are going to go, oh yeah, Apple had an event. Remember that from like 2 weeks ago, you know?
Well, I don't think we have to worry about people forgetting that Apple had an event 2 or 3 weeks ahead of the product launch, considering people still haven't forgotten the Apple Watch introduction, which was months ago now.
Right. But something about this just seems sort of odd to me, that they would, because like I was saying before, you know, sometimes we don't even get a press release when something gets updated or changed. So for there to be two events just for the watch and we still can't get our hands on one, to me, is notable, because it's not something we've ever seen before.
That's true.
So I hope what's actually going to happen is that something dramatic has changed in the time between the conference call, I think it was the earnings call when Tim said it, and now, that the watch doesn't need until April to ship, and that maybe we actually are going to get it sooner, which would make that other timeline make a lot more sense. We're announcing it on Tuesday, pre-orders start Friday, we're going to pre-order for a week, and then bam, in the stores. That would be amazing.
It'd be amazing. Cool. I kind of doubt that'll be the case, but it would be amazing. I doubt that'll be the case.
Now, my guess is that we'll get the pricing and all these other details we haven't been privy to before. We'll know the exact ship date, if there's a pre-order date, and then afterwards we'll sit back and go, wow, they really did that a lot earlier than they normally would for a product.
Which is my hope. I want for that to be the case. I want it to come sooner.
No, I don't mean it'll come sooner. Reasons, I mean the announcement is coming a lot sooner than it otherwise would.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So now we have to wait until March 9th to know exactly what's happening. Yeah. So we have to put on our patience pants.
No. Yeah. I hate pants.
I know, so do I.
Thing, well, and the other thing that to me is interesting about this is that this seems to be more noticed than sometimes we get on an Apple event, too.
Well, let's see.
By a couple of days.
Yeah. It usually seems to be like a week. It's almost like, okay, now all the journalists will have to pay full fare for their plane ticket. Let's let fly.
Yeah, that's true. So we do have a couple extra days. So so not only is Apple benevolent, but they're generous.
In this in this instance, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So we'll know more on the 9th. What we do know more about right now, though, totally unrelated to Apple Watch, is what sort of stance the FCC is really taking on net neutrality, because the vote's happening today.
Speaking of about, it's about time.
Yeah. And one of the things that the FCC announced was that they are shooting down the laws that specific states have made that limit the way municipalities can grow out their broadband. So in essence, the laws are written to prohibit municipalities from being able to compete in the broadband market. So they favor companies like Comcast and Time Warner and Verizon that have their own broadband networks. They shot that down. So now municipalities are in a position where they can better compete in the broadband market.
Yeah, those laws, in my opinion, were corrupt. It's the definition of crony capitalism. And I'm sorry, it's not necessarily the definition of crony capitalism, so I take that back, but I think it's often related to it. But it's certainly the product of intense local lobbying at the state level by these usually large telecom companies. And it's pretty disgusting, and it's nice to see the FCC doing its job. You know, Tom Wheeler's FCC is turning into kind of an awesome FCC.
It is, and
it's
I'm kind of really surprised. Yeah, it's fun to watch, and it's surprising. I mean, people, when Tom Wheeler was appointed to this position, were really concerned, and I was among those concerned people.
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah, he was a telecom industry lobbyist. So his job, he made his money by going in and pressuring lawmakers into or cajoling them into creating laws that favored the telecoms and the ISPs. And so in a way, it felt like the fox was being put in charge of the hen house.
Yeah.
But that's not how this has turned out.
Which is all too common in general at the national level, where lobbyists do sometimes, especially in the previous administration, just to be blunt about it, lobbyists were often put in charge of regulating the industries for whom they worked. And, you know, on the one hand, you've got the fact is that lobbyists do tend to know their industry, but they are often also, if not beholden to their previous employers, at the very least sympathetic towards. And yes. Tom Wheeler he's been doing a good job of standing up for what's best for the country and what's best for consumers, as opposed to what's best for his previous masters as a lobbyist. And it delights me and impresses me. And good stuff so far.
I'm very pleased as well. I love the idea of municipalities being able to give us like really crazy fast broadband at reasonable prices.
I'm very surprised that this was how this went down. For people who follow a lot of politics, you may know that my state recently got a new governor because the Secretary of State took over for the guy that we actually elected. And the Secretary of State took a significant amount of money from Comcast. So there's been a whole second wave of discussion after, should the governor resign? Now that the governor did resign, it's been a whole bunch of conversation, particularly in the tech world here in Portland in particular, about how there's a lot of concern what's going to happen legislatively in Oregon for the next however long because of the fact that she took all this money from Comcast. So seeing that on a federal level that this sort of thing is kind of being smacked down a little bit has made me inordinately happy. I'm really glad that he didn't just go in there and do what his previous employers sort of wanted him to, and he kind of is seeming to strike a balance between like common sense and corporations. And it's been very interesting to watch. And I'm surprised, but I assume no one is more surprised than the telecom lobbies.
And disappointed, no doubt.
Oh, certainly.
Now,
which sort of means he's on the right track as far as people are concerned.
I think so. Yeah, now, this silver cloud does come with a brown lining, and I'm not exactly sure how I came up with that metaphor, but we'll just roll with it. The telecoms are not pleased with this announcement, no doubt. So I think it's a safe bet that they will be looking at what it is that they can do to get this change reversed. So we may be looking at lawsuits or some other lobbying efforts to get Congress to take control over this and limit what the FCC can do. I don't know what it will be, but there will be some backlash from the industry, and it won't be a happy backlash.
No, but yeah, I'm sort of hoping Tom Wheeler, knowing his way around the lobbying piece of this well enough, will already sort of be prepping for what he knows is going to come next.
Yeah, I think a lot of that will hinge on the authority that was announced. The authority cited in the announcement was a comment from a single judge in a multi-judge ruling about the FCC having the power to do precisely this. So I'm not a lawyer. Now you've played one, correct, Jeff?
Yes, I have.
You've played a lawyer on stage, right?
Yes, I have.
Now, so you probably know a lot more about this than me, but the reality is that if that line item from a judge in a multi-judge ruling, it is possible that that is actually entirely enough and that the telecom industry won't bother to fight it because they know it's going to be a losing battle. Plus, this is only the case in two different states, and that's probably because it's been shady from the beginning, and they all know it. They had a sweetheart deal while they could get it. Now it's gone, and they'll probably have to take their lumps and move on.
Yeah, well, yeah. So in that sense, they're probably glad that they had it as long as they did. And knowing how the FCC took it in the shorts the last time that that they were in court over net neutrality, they aren't going to easily let that happen again. So I'm certain that everything that they've been planning leading up to today's announcements has been researched and checked, and their legal team has done everything they can to create as bulletproof a position as is possible.
Yeah, probably. Let's hope so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine they would have whimsically said, hey, the one judge said this, so let's do this over here.
Right. No,
they did a lot of legal legwork to make sure that they would be able to do that before they did, because that's a pretty big statement and a pretty big move that they made.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So anyhow, while we're recording, there's still more happening with the FCC announcements. So expect, at least I am expecting, some more surprises.
Certainly.
Yeah, and some good surprises to come out today. So so maybe we'll have more to talk about tomorrow about today's FCC votes.
I guess here's hoping.
Yeah. So as it turns out, today ended up being an episode that was a lesson in patience, because we have to be patient to see what Apple does on the 9th, and we have to be patient to see everything that plays out today with the FCC net neutrality vote. And we're out of time. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Always good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. And Kelly, it's always fantastic to have you here today as well.
Thanks so much. Anytime.
And that just sounded really silly, I realized. It's always fantastic to have you here today.
Well, we do the show daily, so that's sort of made sense.
Okay, well, we'll just roll with it.
I watch Doctor Who. It's all good.
Oh, yep. Okay, that explains it all. All right, and thank you to our listeners for being here again today, and we will see everyone again tomorrow.